Barack Obama, the black pinball game, the first black pinball game ever in the United States. Change.
Hello and welcome to Backlog Cast. We are empty. It's just me and Al today. Tony apparently has to do laundry, and that is his excuse for not being here.
The laundry.
That's grr, as he would say. And Slunks, we don't know where you are, but hopefully you are getting grimy with mad chicks and stuff, son. Word. Don't let your friend hear us talking like that, or else he'll try to hang us. Or something like that. Because he's mean like that. You know what I'm talking about. No one else does, but you know what I'm talking about. Do you know what he's talking about?
I think I know what he's talking about.
Yeah, let's play some Civ 4 instead. Okay? No. Yes, this is Saturday, June 21st, the afternoon before our epic rock band party, which is probably going to fail and turn out to be three people. I'm doing a reverse jinx, so hopefully that doesn't happen. Knock on wood.
It won't.
So, we will begin as usual with what we've been playing. We'll talk a little bit about some news stuff. There's not too much that we put in the bucket this week. And then we'll get to your questions and some speech about a backlog. Supersonic 97, you read our minds. But first of all, Al, not counting your backlog, what have you been well, that's kind of impossible. But what current game have you been playing, I should say?
I haven't been playing any current. Well, all right, God of War Chains of Olympus.
Yeah!
That is the only current game that I've been playing because I had a really rough week and I didn't really get to play anything. I had to go home, go to sleep, wake up early, go do something, then come back home and then go to work and then go home and then go to sleep and repeat that all week. So I'm pretty tired. I finished Spartan Mode and the last boss was pretty tough. And every time you die against the first phase of the last boss, you start before the cutscene before the last boss.
Can you skip cutscenes?
Only after you beat the game.
Ah.
So that was kind of annoying. But it's like a, 15-second cutscene.
Oh, that's not that terrible.
You repeat it like, 20 times. And then
that might get on someone's nerves. Game. Just might.
Yeah. I remember someone in a review had mentioned that, and I was looking for it. And I didn't know it was the last boss. Well, it's the last boss. So when you start...
Spoilers!
I mean, you'll know it's the last boss anyway because of how really epic the whole thing ends up being.
Right.
But I finished that.
Don't spoil it!
I did the first Hades challenge, which was pretty tough. The second one is a little tough, but you just need some patience. I think you need patience for everything in this game. Like, I can't play this game on God mode. I'm playing it now in God mode, and I'm a little more than halfway through the game. Can't play this game on a time restriction. Like, if you only have 20 minutes to play, you're not going to get anywhere because you keep dying. You're going to want to kill these guys as fast as possible, and then they're going to do their attacks, and you're going to get hit, and you're going to die. Or you're going to do one of your finishing moves that requires a little button press mini game, and you're going to mess up, and then they're going to counterattack you for most of your life, or all of it.
Oh, so. Shit. Wait, so compare this to God of War. How much more difficult is it than God of War?
I don't know. I never played God of War on anything harder than normal. So I don't know what God of War is like on Spartan or...
Right. I forgot you're on Spartan.
And I started this, the PSP version on Spartan because normal was just too easy.
Okay.
So I'm thinking that the game is probably easier. I know it's shorter. I beat the game in like 7 hours.
Yeah, it was reported to be a really short experience. Now, question though, the fact that you can't get anything done in 20 minutes, does that speak against its portability? Like, you know what I mean?
Because
one of the things that I always look for in portable games is, no matter what type of game it is, how well do the developers take into consideration this is a portable game? We should tailor it towards a portable audience. And by that, I don't mean dumb it down, but I mean at least have a quick save or something like that. I mean, pressing the sleep button on the PSP or closing the DS lid isn't good enough, basically, is what I'm saying. And so, like, does God of War for PSP make any concessions to that, or do you have to resort to using the sleep button?
Well, that wasn't really what I was referring to. What I mean by I couldn't get anything done if I was playing in 20 minutes was that you keep dying on the same encounter
for 20 minutes straight because
you're rushing. So basically, you can just turn it off and you'll be at that save point right before the encounter. But if you're playing on a mode where you can actually kill the guys in without having to focus on dodging all the time or looking at people's patterns and things like that, you can get really far in 20 minutes.
Right, so it's basically you're saying that you need more than 20 minutes to get the correct muscle and eye memory in order to fucking beat that scene.
Yeah,
and just persist.
Not even have more than 20 minutes, but I need to be able to just sit down and go, okay, I have nothing I have to do. Like I'm not gonna play this game
right
on my break, because if I play it on my
break,
there's
that
at
monkey
work,
in the back of your head saying, "You gotta go to work. You gotta go to work. Hurry up."
And I made myself late for break a couple of times because I'm like, you know what, I want to beat this part. So that's how that goes.
What about Rage of Bonan?
Well, I stopped playing it because I don't have anybody to play with now. Because all the people who I was playing with when I bought the game, they decided to stop playing. So I canceled my free subscription before the time was up.
Oh, nice. Okay.
The time is up on the 23rd, so I still have like 2 more days to play the game.
Right.
But what's messed up is that as soon as I canceled the subscription, I found this program in my computer that was sapping like half my resources, and I stopped it from running, and now Conan runs like orange juice.
It runs like orange. That's disgusting.
Yeah.
Bloop. So sum up your experience with Boner. I mean, and first of all, why'd they stop playing? To go back to WoW or something else?
Well, Rob stopped playing because he thought the game was buggy.
Okay.
He said that he was like falling through walls and stuff, like jumping through mountains. And so I was like, that's probably true because the game just came out. And outside of, like, I haven't played the game outside of level 20, really, where the game opens up and you can do whatever you want.
Mm.
So he has, and I mean, I have a friend who was, like, probably level 30 or whatnot, and he was saying that he was having a good time with the game, but I would never catch up with him to play.
Right.
Then my supervisor, he just decided to stop playing in general to focus on his photography so he can
okay.
get out of the, you know, our job. And so those are the only people I knew. Like, I was going to go and just play with people that I knew, but now Rob wants to play a while because he's finally, like, you know, he's finally just fessing up to the fact that, you know, why play a game that's like WoW when you could just play WoW?
Right. Huh.
Well, so now
is it that much like WoW, or does he just mean in terms of why play a game in this genre that's like this when I can play the best one in the genre?
That's what he means.
Okay.
It's like, why play a game that's trying to be like the best when you can just play the best?
You're the best! Around. La, 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 la. I don't know the words to that song, do you?
Nah, I don't even know what that song is.
Oh, okay. I got an interesting viewpoint. I don't know if it's interesting to me. A viewpoint on that whole, like, if it's not the best, why bother with it type of... Not necessarily that's how you can simplify what Rob is doing, because you can't, but, like, in general, there's... You know, and I'm not just talking about... games, but music and movies as well. Like, you know, I have a couple of friends who, you know, they'd say similar things. Like my friend Dave, we'd be listening to Outkast's second album, for example, and near the end of the album, the last like 3 or 4 songs run off in a row are just like amazing songs, some of the best in its genre, some of the best in hip hop. And the last three, in the middle of the last three, there's this one song that's really good, but it's surrounded by like excellent songs, right? So it's like
okay.
a 10 out of 10 followed by a 9 out of 10 or an 8 out of 10 followed by a 10 out of 10. I'm just being arbitrary with the numbers here.
Sure.
And so his mentality is always like, I always skip that track because it's like, these other two songs are so good. Why should I bother listening to that other song in the middle?
Right.
And my thing is, well, it's a different song. That's why.
Exactly.
It offers you different things. It may not be as good, but it offers you something else that the other two can't. Maybe it can't. Maybe not in straight up quality, but you can't aggregate shit like that. Well, to each his own. But what I'm saying is, when people when people go onto websites and they see, oh, well, this game got a 9.9 and this other game got a two. And this other game got
8.5.
An 8.5. Like, oh, my standards are high. You know, I wouldn't dare dip to the level of an 8.5. First of all, you've got a fucking ego trip and you should just shut up. You're an idiot.
Yeah.
You know?
That's the first step.
Yeah, forget about that. But following that, it's like, well, what if this 8.5 game offers you something really cool that you can't get in that 9.9 game? And yeah, it's not that good because maybe it's shorter, maybe it's not as challenging, maybe the story's not as good, but you have something that's unique to this game that you can't get in that other game. That maybe it's not like, you know, oh, it's so unique that you have to give it a 10 out of 10, which is another reason why I fucking hate scores and whatever. But it's like it's such that, like, you need to play this game to experience this part. It's kind of like what, I don't know who here listens to the GFW radio podcast. Wow, is that a street cleaner?
Oh my goodness. All right, I gotta close this window. Hold on. I was really trying not to interrupt you, but I have to. Be right back.
Oh, my head's getting light. Oh, I can't see anymore. Ladies and gentlemen, Al's window. Let's give it a round of applause as he closes it. Al. Shh, he's coming back. Okay, he's back. Don't tell him what I said about him. Oh, you're back. Hey.
You know what? Shut up.
Shut up. What was I saying before the street sweeper came by? Oh, yeah. But yeah.
That's actually a bus.
Or a bus. But I don't know how many people listen to GFW Radio, but Sean Elliott, who is one of the erstwhile GFW Magazine's editors, he's also an editor on 1UP since they're the same family and all that shit, he was talking about how he gave Crysis an 8 out of 10 when all the other sites gave it a 9.5 out of 10, blah, 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 blah. Oh, it's Crysis, it's beautiful. And some ass fuck on the forums was like, why so low? 8 out of 10 is not low, first of all.
No. Nope.
Second of all, his whole point was that, like, an 8 out of 10, at that point, and this is actually resonates with me as to why, like, you know, scores are just kind of, But it's at that point, it's like, yes, you should buy this game. My reviews are partially about should you get this game or not, but they're also about discussing the game as a whole and critiquing its various parts. So, yes, you should buy this game, definitely. Like, for the people who are saying, why so low? Why do you care? He's telling you that you should buy this game already. And his other contention is that, well, the last third of the game kind of goes downhill in what they could have done and what they didn't do and what was wrong with it. But it's still a game you should buy.
Mm-hmm.
So when people come up and say, oh, why you made so low, and, you know, oh, now people aren't going to buy it. Well, first of all, besides the fact that that's the problem with scores in general, it's like, no, you can't just come out and say, like, oh, if you're not the best, why should I bother playing it? No, each game is unique, and I think it needs to be judged on its own merits, whether or not, like, the overall experience. Now, if your reasoning is it's not about the unique things that I want to play, it's just about the overall enjoyment. I just want to sit down, no matter what gimmicks or whatever are in there, and overall just enjoy a game better than I enjoy something else. That's fair. And I feel like that's probably what happens with WoW and other MMOs is that, like, and this is coming from someone who doesn't play them, so correct me if I'm wrong, but, like, with LOTRO, Lord of the Rings Online, everyone said it's like WoW with a LOTRO skin on it.
Mm-hmm.
And Age of Conan is apparently supposedly like WoW, but, I mean, maybe they do some things with the combat system. Exactly what I was saying. If you want to have an interesting combat system, you can't go and play WoW. You got to play this. So don't say, oh, I'd rather play WoW because it's the same thing. It's not. But
exactly.
But, like, is that difference enough to make you enjoy the experience of Age of Conan enough to put away WoW and to not play WoW, or to at least say, I would split my time with this and WoW because this combat system is so unique? Well, maybe not, because people play WoW because maybe the overall enjoyment is just at that point where you could throw in a special combat system or maybe, you know, a ladies with titties, but at the end of the day you enjoy WoW that much more. So if that's the reasoning, I can understand it. I just had to get that off my chest, though, when people are like, oh, you know, if it's not this score or it's not the best one, then I'm not going to waste my time in it. As if you're, like, such a fucking elitist. Give me a break, you know?
Right.
Don't be such a But anyway, that what else have you not been or stopped playing?
Not been or stopped playing.
I don't know. My English is dead because you stopped playing. You stopped playing Age of Conan. Did you stop playing anything else?
No, not really. Well, I stopped playing Final Fantasy III. Yes, and then I started playing it again.
But wasn't that a long time ago?
No, that was Sunday, the day after last week's podcast.
Oh, so you started again, then you stopped it, and then you started again.
Well, I started again so I could finish it.
And then you stopped.
Because I was at the end.
Right.
And so I finished up the last parts, took like 45 minutes. It, basically, at the end, you've got to fight four bosses and the last boss, and if you just go straight to the last boss, you die.
Yeah.
But, so I fought all the four bosses and got all the stuff, went to the last boss, got obliterated, and...
No save point, right?
Square Enix doesn't put a save point inside the tower or before you get to the last part where there's a point of no return. There's a point of no return.
That's
what's even more fucked up about it.
That's even less portable friendly.
And so, basically, all you have is your quick save to go.
That's shit.
And if you die, then you have to go back.
Right.
Now, the thing is, for some odd-ass reason, I have no idea why. I must have been on a roll, but when I loaded my save, I was so far back that I didn't even get to enter the tower that's at the end of the game. Because when you enter the tower, there's a special part where you get like all the strongest weapons in the game. And then there's the regular tower where you go and you fight the bosses and you go to the World of Darkness and do things. Blah, blah.
So basically when you died and you reloaded, you discovered that all that shit that I just did because I forgot to save is all gone. Fuck you, Square Enix.
Well, not even, because there's stuff that you still, like, had to do over again unless you left the tower.
Oh.
But the thing is, I didn't know any of that. So when I was playing it before that Sunday, like, when I was, you know, all those months ago, I must have been just on a roll, just, like, killing stuff,
right,
killing stuff, and not bothering to save, because I'm like, well, there's going to be a save point somewhere. That's, that, you know, my mentality. If Final Fantasy IV, there's a goddamn save point, like, 10 minutes away from the last boss.
Yeah.
And, you know, in every other game, there's a save point like 10 minutes away from the last boss.
Right. Now, before you continue, though, this game doesn't have any save points in the dungeons, correct?
Because
that's what I heard. I heard that they made it that brutal. Maybe not on purpose, maybe on purpose, but it was brutal because all the save points are just like in the original game. You have to save in, like, a house or a tent, or you have to save on the overworld. You can't save in a dungeon.
I believe that there are no saves in the dungeons.
Yeah, see? There you go.
I don't remember, though, because it's been so long since
I've
been in a dungeon.
I don't remember.
But I think that, there are no saves. But the thing is, the game is not hard until the last boss. Like, everything is manageable.
If you grind. If you grind a little bit.
Well, not even. Like, I'm...
Then you must be a lot better than I am.
I don't know. I think it's just all about management and patience. Because basically, if you play with... a good group that has good damage. Everything is like WoW to me now. Like, if you've got a good tank and you got a good healer and you got good damage, then you'll be able to beat anything. So I set my party up like that. Like, I had a knight and I had a devout, which is the ultimate white mage. I had a ninja and I had a summoner. So the ninja and the summoner were my source of damage. My knight would defend and block attacks. Like, I'd give him two shields and put him on defend. And he would take no damage when people were critical.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would give him two swords and he'd do some damage too. And then the devout was the healer. So that's how I really got through everything, even though, like, there's some enemies that attack twice. There's one enemy that attacks three times. And the one that attacks three times doesn't really do magic all the time. He does mostly, like, really hard physical stuff. So he was manageable. And then you get to the last boss, and the last boss does some crazy ass shit. And my characters were like, level 55? And the last boss, according to facts, is level 60. So they're like, you know, you should be level 60 with your characters to have a hard time at it. To not have an impossible time at it. And then there were people talking about, oh, you need two ninjas. If you have 10 shurikens, you need two ninjas. You could beat it like this. You need two healers because you got to heal up all that damage no matter what. And I threw a shuriken the first round, and I missed. I was so pissed. You don't understand how upset I was. And then the boss did all this shit and killed, like, half my party in three turns. And then the other half, like, I was really struggling. Like, okay, I think I can Phoenix down and then heal if the speed comes out right. and then I could use my full heal on this guy, and the boss would just completely obliterate any plans. It'd just be like, okay, I'm going to hit you and kill you, and then I'm going to hit you, but then I'm going to wait until you use a Phoenix down on this guy, and I'm going to hit everybody.
That sounds like Etrian Odyssey and Etrian Odyssey 2, except in the first 10 minutes of the game.
Oh, that's just something.
Last boss, what so is your profession? What?
What the hell is that from?
300.
Oh.
And Tony was spoofing it last week. Spartans! Because he hates that movie because he doesn't like fun.
Yeah.
Go
what
ahead.
What were you playing, speaking of Etrian Odyssey?
That's about it. I dipped into the backlog a little bit. I'll talk about that later during the mailbag, but... GameSpot sent me... No, I'm sorry. GameSpot assigned me Etrian Odyssey 2, and so I went out and got it. It's, for anyone, at least the opening 5 hours, it's basically Etrian Odyssey 1. So if you own that game and you want to see something different the instant that you boot it up, don't buy it, because it's not different the instant you boot it up.
I don't understand. You mean like the story and everything?
The gameplay. There is barely a story to really pay attention to. I mean, the story's there, but this is a type of game that, while they do a decent job of like giving you story and shit, like it's such a dungeon crawl that all your attention really should be on the dungeon crawling parts.
Okay.
And it's probably going to end up being that way, because you go into that first floor of the labyrinth and you're going to die and you're like, what the fuck? This first thing killed my guy? You know, so, but it's basically, the first game starts off, you recruit members into a guild, you set them up with weapons and shit, and then the guy's like, okay, well, you know, in order to become a full-fledged guild, you have to draw this map of the first floor of this labyrinth, go forth, and so you do it, and 5 times out of 7, you're going to be resetting that game, because you'll realize that you don't have enough, that you either don't have enough armor, or you haven't gotten the right weapons, because you'll have died, or what happened to me, the first 5 times I played Etrian Odyssey.
The first one?
Yes. The first 5 times I played it, I lost 1 to 2 guys before I completed my first task.
Awesome.
Out of a party of 5. So I'm like, awesome. Fuck this. You know, I'm rebooting. I'm going to try again until I can complete this first task without losing a guy.
Right.
And so basically the first 15 minutes of the game actually takes about 1.5 to 2 hours in real time. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Boot up Etrian Odyssey 2, the same exact thing happens. Oh, in order to become citizens in our fair city, you must go to the first floor of the forest and map this thing out. Once you map this out, come back to me. Same thing. My first or second guy died. My die. Yeah, basically.
My die.
Basically. My die. Just cut to the chase.
Yeah.
And except it, I think I rebooted maybe 4 times instead of 5, so... But yeah,
I gotta
play
this game, man. I have to play this game.
It's one of those things where you boot it up, and the first few times you play it, you're like, this is a terrible game. You know, it's unfair. It's cheap. It's designed poorly. They didn't pay attention to portability. You try to come up with all these quote-unquote legitimate excuses as to why the game is bad when you're really just mad that you keep on losing.
Yes. What game was that I was doing that to? I don't remember. There was a game I was doing that to recently, and I'm like, you know...
Odama?
Not Odama.
I started thinking, like, after the whole Barack Obama thing, every time I heard Odama, I was like, huh? Like, I don't know.
Odama?
Yeah, I'm like, wait. I got
the Black Pinball game?
The Black Pinball?
The first Black Pinball game ever in the United States. Change. Wait, what was it? Oh, yeah, I'll talk to you about that later.
Ninja Gaiden?
No, it wasn't Ninja Gaiden. Oh, man.
What genre?
It was a badass fighting game.
Badass fighting game.
That's what I call them. God of War, Ninja Gaiden, God Hand, you know, Devil May Cry.
Was it God Hand?
No, it wasn't God Hand. God Hand is awesome. It's not that hard to me. It's just that I'm stingy and I don't want to lose level die, which is, you know, that's the hardest difficulty in the game while you're playing. And so I keep getting beat down to level die. But, shoot. I don't remember. Maybe it was God of War. Where I kept on dying. I was like, fuck this. God, this fucking sucky ass shit.
That's exactly what Ancient Odyssey is like. You're like, what? Why were they thinking this way? But like, once you get into the groove of it, it's just like addictive. It's one of those things where grinding is necessary, and you start to hate it. But then you look at what you can do, because the whole appeal behind that game is how you can customize your characters. You go into the customize skill menu, and there's like, I don't know. You start off with like maybe 10 or so skills that are open, and then you can open up like 30 more or something throughout the course of the game. So like it's shit like, okay, hit points up, technique points up, which you use to run magic spells and all that other, and then strength up, defense up, stat boosts basically. And then you get into like, okay, well, I can unlock sword skills. So I have to spend a skill point on sword skills, and once I do that, that unlocks these certain sword skills that I can then spend more points to level those up. But I can
Okay.
also spend a point on unlocking axe skills. So I spend a point on axe skills, and these three axe skills open up, and I can only use it when I equip an axe. But then, oh wait, I can open up healer skills, and then, oh wait, I can level up healer skills to open up even more healer skills, and then I have to level those individually up. So it's
That sounds
basically this.
fun.
This whole huge tech tree. Well, it's fun if you like, strategy games and hugely micromanaging RPGs and like games with tech trees, because that's basically what this is. This game is a huge tech tree. That's all it is.
Okay. I like
Which
tech trees.
which I like a lot, because it's like, oh, I can make my own thing, and let's see where this takes me. Take Final Fantasy Tactics or Final Fantasy Tactics Advance and like shoot it up with steroids and cortisone. That's basically what it is. You're planning out your route of which techniques you can get, and there's so many of them. And the nastiest thing about this game is that you start off with 3 skill points. Every time you gain a level, you get one, just one.
Does it take a long time to get skill points?
Takes it, leveling up is grindy. It's very grindy. You can't just progress through the game naturally and level up. You have to grind. You have to grind, and you'll
All
want to
right.
anyway because the game is so fucking hard.
Right.
But so yeah, like I'm on the second floor of this labyrinth, and the first floor isn't that big. It's just difficult. I've been playing for maybe 3, 4, or 5 hours. After I finished work yesterday and after I ate dinner, I basically at 9 o'clock I opened the game and I just kept on playing until I fell asleep, which was at around I don't know.
9:30. No, I'm just
No, it would be nice because then I get a full night's sleep. But no, I fell in front of the. And here's the other thing: you can watch TV while you're playing this too.
Oh,
But
goodness, is that
so
I can help.
I was watching all sorts of movies. Like I think I put in Talladega Nights to see how bad it was. And it was pretty bad. It was.
Is this the Blu-ray?
Yeah, I mean, it's the same guys who did Knocked Up and 40-Year-Old Virgin, I think, the Apatow group. And
Really?
yeah,
I
it's
didn't know
pretty
they had one
bad.
for other
It's not
movies.
worth seeing, and it was the shittiest move Sony could have made for a Pac-Man movie. Well, that and Spider-Man 3. Spider-Man 3 is pretty terrible too.
Yeah.
But yeah, pretty bad movie. But anyway, so I was watching that and playing the game at the same time, and I fell asleep. After I finished watching it, after like some other movie was on TV, and like I woke up at 2:30, and I was like, "Huh." But the thing is, I had closed my DS, thank God, because I had closed it in order to just see this one part. I think it was I forget what I was watching. It might have been American Beauty, but I think I woke up to that, so I don't
Okay.
think it was that. So my battery
Weird.
didn't run out like it did with Phoenix Wright, thank God. But yeah, it's one of those things where if you don't have perseverance. To level up characters and shit like that, it's the worst game in the world for you, and you should not play it.
Yeah.
It's a very, very niche game, but in that niche, it's one of the best. I mean, you throw that in there with, other dungeon crawling games and other roguelikes and things like that, and if you gave me a choice between, this or Sheeran's Mystery Dungeon or Pokemon Mystery Dungeon. Or even
Azuna.
which one?
Azuna, unemployed ninja.
Yeah, I haven't played that yet.
Oh, I thought you played Azuna.
No, I was going to, but Jason Dobson got really, really busy, so I haven't been able to speak to him. But or other games like Orcs and Elves, which is an easy dungeon crawl. I'll take this because there's just like, when you build your team right, there's a lot of reward for that effort. That's the type of game this is for. This is for those who like this is the RPG version of Ninja Gaiden Black, basically.
Badass, you know? RPG.
Yeah. No relentless fucking I mean, I should say Shirin is also that version too, but it's different. It's a different type of game. So
is it a turn-based battle?
It is turn-based. Ooh. So party of five people, you know, turn-based like Final Fantasy III. Where you put on your commands and you wait for them. It's not like Final Fantasy X where it's turn-based, but whoever goes first goes first. You know what I mean?
No. There's no, like, speed stat?
Right, exactly. Well, there is a speed stat, but in those games, the speed stat determines, like, when you... Okay, so Final Fantasy X, when it's your character's turn, he'll go. When it's right. The enemy's character's turn, they'll go.
Right.
But it's still turn-based.
Yeah.
So you have all the time in the world to make your decision.
Yeah.
In this game, it's like Final Fantasy III, where it's turn-based, but you choose all your commands, and then everything goes in order of agility.
Speed stat there. Basically, whoever has the highest speed goes first after you do all the commands.
But you can't react like you can in Final Fantasy X.
Right. It's old.
It's old turn-based, not new turn-based.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of when I had said turn-based, because... I don't know. I usually think of stuff.
I should say it's round based.
Yes, round based.
It's round based.
That's a better word.
But yeah, that's what it's like. So it's even harder that way, you know. So like, yeah, I'm gonna use my healer to heal my guy with one hit point left. And my healer
hope that he's fast enough.
Yeah, and either he's not fast enough, or the enemy kills the healer in one shit.
Oh damn! Ow.
And I meant to say one shit. No, I didn't. But one hit. Oh, yeah.
One shit sounds better.
You're dead. Oh, smelly.
Enemy takes a shit on you.
Oh, 69 dead. HP. Oh, 2,000 words too. But yeah, again, if you're expecting Final Fantasy and like cutscenes and shit, don't buy this game. But, I mean, at the same time... No, I should say this. If you're expecting that, you won't get that. If that's all you want out of your games, don't buy it. No. But if you are willing to be challenged and you want something like kind of rewarding after you make that challenge, either get this or that game. I have yet to determine whether or not this is actually different enough from the first game to bother with it.
Okay.
But given that Etrian Odyssey itself is probably really hard to find at this point, you might as well.
It's impossible to find.
Yeah, you might as well get this one because they're probably the same thing. Now, of course, it might change as I go on, but for now, it's the same thing. You know, die 20 times in the first 10 minutes. So, and I've been playing some stuff on my backlog, including Final Fantasy X and still trudging through Devil May Cry, but we'll get to that when we get to the backlog. And I think that's it.
All right.
All right, let's move on to the news. Okay, we're on to the news. This is only a little bit in the bucket, so we'll get to this quickly. I always say that, and we always lie about it, but this time I don't mean it.
This time we're not lying.
No, I don't mean it. I don't know. We have to see what happens.
Yeah.
So, remember, the two things to remember. One, when Clover disbanded, a lot of the employees... was it this Clover? Or no. I feel like this happened before, but here's the story. Mm-hmm. Itagaki leaves, sues Tecmo. A lot of Team Ninja says, you know what? Fuck you, Tecmo. We're going to follow this guy because he brings us titties. So this is from Ars Technica by Andrew Webster. It looks as though Tomonobu Itagaki isn't the only one dissatisfied with this treatment by Tecmo. According to a report from 1UP.com, members from Itagaki's former studio, Team Ninja, are following his lead and leaving the company. The report claims that as many as 36 members are on their way out. And even worse for Tecmo, they are all filing Kurasu Action Rosuit against the developer, similar to the one filed by Itagaki. This report runs contrary to the statements made by Tecmo, which claim that, quote, all of Team Ninja is starting to work together on interesting new game title without Itagaki. Well, they probably were starting on that and then decided, you know what, fuck this, let's leave. Mm-hmm. The lawsuits that are reportedly being filed by the soon-to-be ex-Team Ninja members are for unpaid wages for a number of completed games.
Mm.
While this report is still a rumor... It could prove a strong blow against Tecmo. Itagaki's departure alone had a big impact on Tecmo's stock. causing it to drop nearly 10%, so it's not hard to imagine what would happen if nearly all of Team Ninja left the company. Maybe that's why Tecmo's putting out Tecmo Super Bowl on the DS again.
But wait.
Did you see that shit, though, by the way? Tecmo Super Bowl on the DS?
Yeah.
I might even play that, and I don't like football games.
Yeah, I like that.
But go ahead, what were you saying?
The Tecmo stock dropped because they didn't announce it when he put in a lawsuit. That's the reason why. I mean, him leaving, yeah, it had a big impact, but it wasn't because, oh, Itagaki left, now the stock's going to drop. It was Itagaki left and had a lawsuit in May, but then he told everybody found out in June, but they're supposed to let their investors know that there's a lawsuit in May.
Right. But still, I mean, this is an entire team that's been putting out most critically acclaimed games for that publisher.
Oh, yeah.
So it's still going to have an impact. Yeah. You know? Yeah. So, but any comment on this, but other than the stock prices? Are you looking
really
forward to Dead
up,
or Alive 69 from, like, Team Booba?
Team Booba? That's probably what they're going to call themselves. Team Boobies.
Team Silicone.
Man. No, but I do know that Tecmo tried to retaliate.
Was that the... I forgot. We read something about that 2 weeks ago, and I forgot what the retaliation was. Or maybe we didn't read the retaliation and just their remarks.
No, there's this thing in the news that Tecmo slaps Itagaki with a 4-point gag order.
Oh, right. That's right. Segueing to that, where is the gag order?
The last
there we
news
go.
Item.
The last news item. Good job. Tecmo slaps Itagaki with a 4-point gag order. This is from Kotaku by Brian Ashcraft. On June 10th, Tecmo filed with the Tokyo District Court for a gag order against former employee and Dead or Alive creator Tomonobu Itagaki before the court case begins. The provisional disposition includes the following 4 points prohibiting disclosing or leaking information regarding Tecmo's game, software sales, development, or any other company secrets, like how many boobs they feel on a daily basis, using newspapers, magazines, and the internet to criticize company software and company employees. Well, this is not America, where they can't censor that type of shit. Can in America, can we issue a gag order that prevents you from insulting somebody?
I don't know.
Like, can they enforce it? Like, if I left a company, can they enforce a gag order for me to say, I had such a shitty time there, it's terrible?
I don't think they
can do that.
No.
You're not allowed to talk about details of the case. But if I want to say, you know, fuck this company, I hate them, like, I don't know.
Yeah, because people do that shit all the time.
Obstructing the company's business through slanderous remarks to third parties. That's the same thing. Mm-hmm. Do not accept interviews regarding Tecmo or talk to the press about the company.
Because he will fucking rag on them.
Yeah.
If he talks about Namco, like, the way he does.
Namco.
And he talks about his own associate.
Namco.
The way he does. Imagine how he'll talk about the company he used to work for.
Oh, shit. Yeah. I really wonder what, I forgot the guy's name already. Dude who did Sigma. I wonder how he feels now if he's one of those people who are leaving.
Yeah, I don't know.
Or he's just like, you know what, fuck you, dude, you badmouth me, I'm staying. But anyway, go ahead.
There's more.
There's more?
I mean, with the whole Team Ninja thing, I'm just reading. This is a last-minute order here from the news department.
Ooh.
Tecmo says Team Ninja exodus rumors false. Calls out U.S. media. Ooh, things get all spicy and stuff. Tecmo is not pleased. It says that rumor talk of some 36 Team Ninja members bolting from the company with Tomonobu Itagaki and filing suit against Tecmo, reports of which originated 1UP, and this report is from Michael McWhorter. Are false and inaccurate. No such action has taken place at the company, reads an official statement for the
No such action has taken place.
According to Tecmo, only two employees have filed suit against the company, as previously reported. Tecmo claims that it notified all affected employees that they would be appropriately compensated and is currently in the process of resolving the matter. It also goes on record saying that the reports that it had withheld information from shareholders regarding the lawsuit filed by Itagaki were hogwash, in short. Apparently, the
How do you say hogwash in Japanese?
Apparently, recent reporting on Kotaku's legal kerfuffle, or should I say kerfuffle, as he says it, has
Did
caused
he use apostrophes wrong, too?
Huh?
Did he use apostrophes wrong too?
That's
my McWhorter. Go ahead.
Has caused unrest amongst company staffers. So the publisher and developer has asked us to handle news reports concerning all the above matters with care. Rest assured, Tecmo, that it is our policy to handle all news reports as if they were a brittle nest filled with the precious and fragile eggs of a hummingbird.
Let's move on. We don't have much time, so I'm going to skip a couple of these news stories and move right on to
the rumor that Sony's working on a breakaway controller, which is nothing at all like the, you know, Wii and Nunchuck.
No, not at all. But I love these pictures that they make. It's like half a Sony controller and then the other half a Sony controller like in another part of the page.
Can't Splitfish, who is a third party who already tried to imitate the Wii remote and Nunchuck, sue them? For being like, well, this is our idea. I don't know. So here's the rumor. This is from 1UP.com by Steve Watts. Sony's six-axis controller was, admitted in hindsight, largely a product of the lawsuit with Immersion over the Rumble feature in Sony's controller. Once the matter was settled, Rumble came back in the DualShock 3, but it seems Sony could still be sizing up new options for controllers to compete with their stiffest competition, the Wii! GamesIndustry.biz reports that the company is working on a new controller for the PlayStation 3 that can break into two separate controllers for motion sensing purposes. Similar to the Wiimote and Nunchuck, both controller halves would contain accelerometers for individual motion sensing. The report goes on to say that working units of the new controller may already have been supplied to certain developer partners of Sony. There's no word about an impending announcement or whether the individual pieces of the controllers would each be equipped with Rumble. Without official word from the company, this is all rumor and speculation at this point. But a reveal may come in a month at this year's E3. We'll keep you posted. Okay. Right.
Wait, so somebody's actually acknowledging that the PlayStation 3's competition is the Wii? Because I thought that it was only PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360. The Wii is, not in any class associated with the two big brothers.
Possibly. Although, when I'm thinking about it, it may be that Microsoft was the one saying, Wii, what's that? That's not our competition. And Sony is still trying to... Because, Sony has traditionally been... Since they wrestled the crown away from Nintendo with the PlayStation, they've been just as mass market. Oh, okay. They've not been mass market to the point where the Wii is at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But relative to other companies, they were the Wii first.
True.
They were the ones pushing towards completely different audiences and all that type of shit. So their goal, I think, was to still be that guy, And now that the PlayStation 2 may be slowing down. I mean, there are no new games, but it's still selling. But it may be slowing down. Now maybe it's time for them to think, well, maybe this is what the audience like. They like people to... They like waving shit around. They like simple stuff. So let's do this. My opinion is, no, they don't like the fact that it's... $400 to $500 to pay for this system.
Yeah,
people are getting 360s because they can get an arcade unit for $280. You put out a unit that sells for $300 and you're in business.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the splitting controller goes, as much as I'm gonna mock it, I'd actually like to see how it works. I don't know if using it with a DualShock pad will necessarily be the way to go, only because I'm having a hard time imagining manipulating the right half of a DualShock with just my right hand and the left half of a DualShock with just my left hand. The reason why the Wii Remote and Nunchuck work so well is because they've grafted it to your hand and they've made the button combination such that they're simplified, and the ones that you need to press the most are right under your thumb.
Mm-hmm.
And you can hold it like a remote instead of a big hunk of plastic. And of course, the disadvantage of that is that all the games that I like to play, the traditional games that would normally be on a 360 that they try to port over to Wii, they play like shit with the exception of Okami. Manhunt 2 plays like complete garbage because the controller, God bless its motion sensing, but the controller is not necessarily fit for traditional games, which is just aberrant on Nintendo's part to not have included a class. I'm still going to harp on this 2 years later. I don't know why they didn't include a classic controller in the Wii pack, and they're trying to sell this shit for $250. Anyway, moving back to sanity.
Millions! That's all I gotta say. Millions.
I don't care because I'm still mad.
I know.
They can sell as many millions as they want. It doesn't make me any happier about it.
They're there, but, Austin.
Shut up. I want my milk.
My milk.
But I mean, I think that if Sony goes this route, it's gonna be hard to balance the traditional controller aspect versus the split controller aspect. Like I said, I don't want to play with a DualShock that's split in half. I'm sorry, that looks like the most retarded thing in the world. At the same time, mm-hmm. I don't want them to give up the diamond buttons and mm-hmm. the presence of a D-pad and an analog stick and the shoulder buttons. I don't want them to give it up.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like the 360 controller, it fucking plays Devil May Cry pretty damn well.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're telling me that, they're going to start designing games around this split thing. Now, the difference is if they make this a non-standard thing, where you can buy Sony's motion shit, or you can buy Sony's regular DualShock 3 and have the best of both worlds and have both of them. Okay, but if they're going to try to move the standard to where games are going to be using this motion stuff and they're also going to be using the regular button layout, that's going to be a balancing act that's going to be hard to sell. It's just like the fact that Nintendo doesn't have a hard drive yet, or that the 360 decided to have a choice between the matter, and then later say, shit, we fucked up. Now mm-hmm. we're going to have to increase the Xbox Live Arcade size to 350 megs and put it on a new memory card because we messed up. You're introducing all these different standards that people are going to be expected to adopt, It's like, now the Nintendo not having a hard drive thing is strictly a storage thing. Like, they're probably not going to use it for caching because, people don't want to spend the time and the money to make a real Wii game, so they put out carnival games. Fuck them.
Real Wii game.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't know how this is all going to pan out. I mean, aside from all the snickering that, we can be skeptical. Oh, they're copying Nintendo. I, for one, just don't want to see an instance where we're moving standards to this new controller that doesn't have the right amount of buttons on it, or it has the right amount of buttons on it, and it's just plain cumbersome to use as a split controller because it's not designed that way.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, as much as I laughed at the 6S as being the copy, copying motion control, I would have rather them see new ways to make 6S more immersive. I hate to use the word immersive, more intuitive than it already is, which is not very, but more mm-hmm. intuitive and more capable. Increase the 6S tech. Don't give me a split controller. Integrate, because when the Wii was first announcing, revolutionary shit, a lot of different things ran into my head, and one of them was what. IGN Wii was saying was that it would just be a GameCube type controller, traditional controller with gyroscopes in it, which is what the 6S is.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, I was like, oh, cool. If they can do something cool with that, great. So again, with 6S here, if they can just make 6S better, great. You don't need to split the controller up. Come on. You don't need to do that. But whatever. Do you have any comments on this room hour?
No, I think it's going to look completely different. If it's actually true, it's not going to have anything to do with a DualShock, I don't think. But we'll see.
Right. Yeah, and of course, this picture that they have on 1UP is not what I think they're going to do. It's not what Al thinks they're going to do.
No,
at all.
It's a big joke.
It's just still the concept of take this traditional controller and split it in half. What else can you really think of besides making it not traditional?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, going the other cheek and saying, okay, this is not going to be traditional.
Right.
Because the only way to make it work ergonomically so far, as we've seen, is that. But who knows? Maybe they've got some engineers up in there. But speaking of controllers, Al's got some bonanza shit with Guitar Zero.
Bonanza.
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 Okay, moving on to the mailbag. So, no, go ahead. You want to just give us the gist of it since there are like 20 articles about this?
Yeah, everyone should be able to read it on their own anyway. The new guitar for the Guitar Hero World Tour. Is going to be redesigned. Yay. Something that I'll tell you I probably won't buy because I already have too much junk in my house. But
yep.
This guitar does have something going for it. It has a touch-sensitive panel, I guess you could say, on the upper part of the neck where you have the 5 buttons on the lower part you normally play the song with. And when it comes time to play solos and things like that, that you could use the touchpad to do tapping. And they could use it to do vibrato, like if you're holding notes and things like that, as opposed to using a whammy bar. Mm. And there are other tricks that they're probably going to plan on using it with. And I could see a lot of possibilities. This is also going to be used in the music creator for Guitar Hero World Tour.
Mm-hmm.
they changed the select button to look like the bridge of the guitar, as where the strings come out, if you don't know. There's two little start buttons on the outside of the bridge. And then there's, like, at least for the Xbox and the PS3, the system button is going to be on the side like a knob. I would assume that the Wii version would probably have, like, a home button there or something. Well, who knows? Mm. And it's got the whammy bar and strum bar and whatnot. And it looks, say it's going to be larger, more fitting to be, like, the size of a regular guitar. Mm. So we'll definitely have to see what that looks like. They also say that the drums are going to be touch sensitive, where if you touch the pad lightly, it'll register a light hit, etc. And that's also going to be used in the Music Creator.
I'm looking at the Wii guitar, and it looks like the home button, they'll probably use the Wii remote, because the only extra thingy on here is the analog nub, which is below the strum bar. Whammy bar.
Oh, it's an analog nub? That's
it looks
it
like an analog nub, yeah.
Oh, okay.
But I could be wrong.
Mm. I have no idea what the hell that is.
Now, since you're the guitar boy, what model of guitar is this that they're using?
That looks like a—I don't even know. It's like a custom Kramer type of thing. It's not a very popular guitar like body. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, it looks like a Strat.
You know what? It looks like the PS2 guitar for Guitar Hero 3. The black one. It had a similar shape.
Yeah. It looks like, basically, like one of those Kramer guitars. It's like a jazz guitar.
Oh, okay.
Basically.
You know what I wish they would do with this fucking detachable neck? Sell the neck and the body separately, so that you have the neck for $10 or $15, and you have the body for $40.
That would be great.
Because the guitars themselves are $60, right? So now, not only do you have that, but make it cross-platform, so that I say, I have the Wii version, but I also want to get the 360 version, but I have the Wii version, you know, so that I can bring this to a friend's house. And I'm crazy enough to have two versions of it. For example, I'm not, but let's say the average, some person is.
Mm-hmm.
I can take my neck, which is universal, and plug it into any console's base. Mm. And say, I'll take my 360 neck and take it over to your house and plug it into the Wii base. I don't know how useful that'll be, how practical that'll be, but the option should be there. I think that would be cool for them to do that. They probably won't anyway, so. Anyway, yeah, it looks really cool. I actually like that slider thingy. But I'm not going to spend another $60 for this guitar.
No way.
Unless
my current guitar breaks.
Right, exactly. Now, what I question... You bring up a good point.
Yeah, cause
my other guitar did break.
That's true.
So maybe I will spend the money against this guitar after all. I don't know, but I have an excuse. So, but my question is for tapping. How important is it to have tactile feedback on a video game guitar? Because this is a slide bar. So now if I'm going to be tapping fucking Dragon Force, for example, or Jordan, I'm going to want that tactile feedback of the button pressing.
Right, because then you'll, you know, for something as precise as that,
right,
you're going to have all the feel and the knowledge of the precision that you're enacting.
Yeah, and the other thing is that since I'm not used to a real guitar, because real guitars don't have buttons that click, obviously, I'm not used to real guitar, so I wouldn't be adept at that, you know? But go ahead, what were you saying?
I don't know. We have to see how it works out because... I don't know how reactive the touch sensitivity is going to be. You know, all that stuff is very variable and whatnot. Well, let's move on from this.
Okay. I think that's it.
Yeah. We could.
Yeah.
Put it to rest.
Bye-bye news. Okay, we're moving on to Al's mailbag.
My mailbag?
Oh. Try and you succeed. Never doubt that you're the one, and you can have your dream. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. And nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. We're on to the mailbag, and Al's talking about the bottom of people's bodies, which is kind of weird and disgusting, but okay.
Yeah.
Freebones asks about building a PC. Let's see what he says. He says, I just bought an Intel Q6600. That's nothing to sneeze at. That's some fucking dough, you know. That's money. That's like, what was it like? Or maybe, I don't know, maybe those are the cheaper ones. I don't know.
The 66,
anyway.
I think, is the cheaper
okay,
one.
Okay, that's still
heavy.
Three,
$400, I think. I'm not really sure.
Yeah.
How much is a Freebones?
But notice complaints about the stock fan letting the CPU run too hot.
That's bad.
I was also hoping to overclock it by 0.6 gigahertz. Do you guys think I should go out of my way to get a nice fan, or just bite the bullet and see if things work out? Get a fucking fan.
Yes, get a fan if you're going to overclock it. Get a better fan. People... Maybe water cool the mother. Just don't deal with the stock fan if you're going to overclock it.
My thing is always in this. If people say the stock fan is good, I stick with the stock fan and I don't overclock.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it's good, it's good. If I want to overclock, no matter how good they say the stock fan is, unless there has been documented shit about it being good, I will go out and buy a new fan.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, if I need to overclock it, like what I did with my original AMD system before I moved to dual core, it was an Athlon XP 2500 chip.
Okay.
And what I did was, I bought it because everyone said that the Barton core, which is what it was back at the time, it was called the Barton core.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody said that, dude, this Barton core, if you're lucky, you can overclock it to 3200 levels. Mm. On stock cooling, and be good. If you're not lucky, you can overclock it to 3,000 levels on stock cooling and still be good.
Mm.
So I said, okay, I'll overclock this to 3,200. Crash, no good. 3,000, stable, good, okay. Temperature monitor had that thing going up to 60, 70 degrees.
Wow.
It was still running, but I'm like, you know what? No, I don't trust that. I gotta go get a copper heatsink. I'm not gonna deal with this shit. Mm-hmm. So I gotta.
It had aluminum.
It was whatever the stock is.
Probably aluminum.
Yeah. So I was like, screw that. You know, it's still running fine. It's stable, but I don't want to run the risk of running that processor dry. Because even if your processor runs and your computer runs, the hotter it gets, that temperature will have an effect on the lifespan of the chip.
Mm-hmm. And then sooner or later, you'll be starting your computer, it starts going blink.
Yeah.
Blink.
Yeah. I mean, even blink, blong, blink.
My computer has done that so many times.
That sounds like a Guitar Hero novice playing
blink,
on expert. Yeah, because even if your computer runs, that heat will eventually, the heat will kill it eventually. You know, a chip is going to die no matter what you do with it. Eventually, the heat running through it is going to, you know, make sad pandas.
And before it dies, it's going to be senile. Yo, I have to mention this. One day, my computer overheated, and I noticed that it overheated because every time I started my computer, this was like a long, long time ago, back when you got the little DOS and you see all the tech stuff running, like all your AutoExecBAT and whatnot.
Yeah.
So it's running the AutoExecBAT, and all of a sudden, in the middle of what I'm typing, it has like question marks and exclamation points and then like other strange symbols, but before it got to the strange symbols, it would run stuff and it would look like it's asking me a question, like it's not sure it wanted to do it.
Question mark.
Or like it was really excited to do it because it had exclamation point at the end of it. And I was like, what the f-? I didn't code that. And then it started to just like go. And
I was
yeah, it looks like my computer. Ooh, it's hot.
It's hot.
Let me go and fix
it. It smells like burning.
And then I would turn it off for a long time, let it cool down, and turn it on. It worked just fine. And then like 5 minutes later, and I'm like, okay, looks like I'm gonna have to replace you.
Look, one of my favorite computer snafu memories with you is when I first got when I was first upgrading my system to a new case, not even to a new case, but just a new system and a new case, and I knew everything. I was plugging everything in, and I screwed everything in, and all that shit, and the motherboard into the case. And after, I think it was like every time I started it up, after about 6 seconds, it would short.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I go into the BIOS, it would last for about 5 seconds and short out.
Oof.
Every time I tried to reboot, it wouldn't turn on.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to wait for a little bit and reset the jumpers. And you looked at it and you're like, wait a minute. Did you put the feet on the motherboard, on the case, and I'm like, what feet? And you're like, you know, to keep the circuitry on the motherboard from touching the case. And I'm like, oh, I see. Oops. And you're like, this board is dead. You're screwed. And then I was like, oh, fuck. But then you're like, no, wait. And you took out the board and you smelled it. And you're like, no, you'll be fine. They won't be able to smell what you did to it. And I'm like, wow, that's terrible. Because I remember this one other time. You were playing No One Lives Forever at my house during the summer.
I remember that.
And it was really, really, really hot.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, during the middle of like the shooting gallery mission, like in the first stage, when they make you like do a shooting gallery type thing, and
right.
People running back and forth, yep. It just shut down.
Yep, I remember that. And it would not turn back.
Was I like washing my hands or like in the kitchen or something? Because I remember you calling me like, hey,
Yeah, you were probably like in the kitchen or something.
Okay, so I came back and like the screen was blank, and I'm like, what the fuck happened? You're like, it just turned off. And then you go over behind the computer and you go, it smells like burning.
Yep.
I'm like, what? And so then I basically went into the bathroom, got a washcloth and put cold water on it and laid it on the top of my case where my power supply was. And in about 2 minutes, that washcloth turned really hot.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, yeah, free bones. Back to your thing. No. Don't
get
do
a,
it.
Get a new fan.
I mean, yeah. First of all, especially if people are already complaining that the stock cooling is already not good enough at stock speeds, to let it run too hot, don't let it risk getting too hot. I mean, you want to get an aftermarket cooler. I think Thermaltake.
Cooler Master.
What's that? Thermaltake Cooler Master, that company that starts with a V. Vantech or they got this fucking wild thing that like fans out in like a circle that looks like
big like tube motherfuckers? Yeah.
It looks like an alien spaceship or something. Mm-hmm. But yeah, those types of things, they may look ridiculous, they may cost a pretty penny, but I mean it's worth your computer living.
Damn right.
Like especially you drop $300-$400 on that quad core.
Yep, and imagine the smile on your computer's face when it has that extraordinary heat-sink and fan plopped right on top of it.
And don't forget to get thermal paste.
Yes.
Oh, one bit of advice is what I've been reading on the forums about thermal paste is people tend to think that you just glop thermal paste on and you squish it together and you glop it on to make sure that it conducts the heat. That's not necessarily the case, and I found this out when I first started using it. Not the hard way, thankfully, but just, you know, through reading and shit, people who have heard different stories, feel free to submit and correct us if you think we're wrong, but...
I can give you the official word on it, though.
Okay, what's the official word?
The official word is you should put a thin layer
on
it, and basically, when you're dealing with a chip and you have, like, thermal paste from a tube or something, you just put a little dab in the corner, and then you use, like, a Q-tip or something, and you spread it across the entire chip.
Or a credit card, or... An expired credit card or something,
right.
Or a razor blade even.
So basically what you'll do is you have a thin layer that is flat so that when you do put the heat sink on it, there's no air bubbles. The air bubbles would keep the heat.
Right.
So if you just put a glob on it and you just slap the heat sink on it, you're probably going to wind up killing your ship or doing damage to it.
Or at the very least, just not doing the optimal job. And the other thing is that like if you put too much on it, like, people like to put it on, like, frosting. Like, oh, I'm gonna, it's going to be super conductive.
Can't do that.
That's a little counterproductive. It might even make it heat up more, maybe, because there's so much shit on there. I could be wrong, though.
No,
I don't know if it's...
That's true, because what it'll do, what it does is it conducts the heat better to the heat sink. So
but if you put too much on...
If you have too much on it, that gets hot. And that'll spill out onto your chip anyway. It'll spill off your die. So you're already, you know, causing... yourself a potential problem.
Right.
I've seen old chips that had heat thermal paste just like soaked on the other side of the chip. You're like, oh man, I don't understand how
not
to make
good.
It this far.
Yeah. But so as per Al's official word, it's a thin layer. And the reason for this is because of the air bubbles he's talking about is that there are imperfections. No surface is perfectly smooth. Almost no surface, at least.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is... The metal, at least the newer Athlon chips have like an aluminum cover over the actual die itself.
Mm-hmm.
But they're still prone to imperfection. So the surface may have like really, really tiny specks of holes in them just because that's the way that materials are. And the heat sink itself is also going to have, like, maybe scratches or something that you can't see with your eyes.
Especially if you clean it.
Right. Exactly. But if you slap those two things together, they're supposed to be touching at all points, and they're not because there are little scratches there. That's the air bubble that Al's talking about. So the thermal paste basically seeps into those little imperfections and seals it shut. So if you can imagine, like, let's say you're making a sandwich with two pieces of bread and mayonnaise. Just mayonnaise and bread.
Mayonnaise sandwich.
When you put the two pieces of bread together, all those holes in the bread, those are air pockets. You slather that shit with mayonnaise all over, at the very least, you cover the mayonnaise gets into the air pockets, and it, you know that. Okay, so that's a bad example.
No, it's
so
a good example because it gets
no,
into
but
the
we're
air
talking
pockets.
About mayonnaise sandwiches, and we don't eat mayonnaise sandwiches.
That's okay. If you happen to be poor enough to eat a mayonnaise sandwich, then you put the mayonnaise on the bread.
But then you'd be too poor to get a quad core chip in his heat sinking fan.
Well, you dream of a quad core while eating that mayonnaise sandwich.
I have a dream. Yeah, one day I'll be able to afford a computer part. Mm-hmm. But yeah, definitely get an aftermarket cooler. I don't know if you want to go all out and do water cooling, but that's definitely an option.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, there's your corner for PC building. Next up is Corey. Corey911. So over the course of the podcast, I've heard many a Simpsons quote and quite a few impressions of the characters. So what's your favorite Simpsons game? The four-player arcade game, I'd probably have to go with that. Simpsons Hit and Run or Crazy Taxi. Let's see. No, I think Hit and Run.
Well, no.
Hit and Run was the GTA clone.
Yeah,
but Road Rage was the Crazy Taxi one.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I always know Simpsons Hit and Run as Simpsons GTA.
Yeah, I've always wanted Hit and Run. I haven't gotten around to it yet. I've heard that was a really good one. I did get Road Rage as a gift, and it's a pretty fun game. Again, it's Crazy Taxi, but it's fun. You know, it's a Simpsons fanboy game. You know, there's all the characters and all the voices and all the shit.
Yep.
I would still say, and this the funny thing is that I played this only very, very sparingly. I didn't play this a lot when it was out in the arcades. I only played a little bit. I would say it's the arcade game.
What? Oh, the yeah.
As my favorite
is definitely like there aren't really that many great Simpsons games. For some odd reason, I don't know why. Like you know, Bart versus Space Mutants. Bart versus the Space Mutants and
Complete Shit. Krusty's Funhouse, which Edu Buccaneer submitted as a bag of shit entry.
Yeah. There's the arcade game, which was good.
Hey, Bart!
What else was there?
There's the new Simpsons game, which I heard was like another
game?
Good. Yeah, no, just the Simpsons game.
Oh.
The Simpsons game that came out this holiday season. I don't think any game was made without the movie.
Well, it wasn't based
It came
off
out around the same time.
Yeah, but it was like advertised with the movie or something like that.
I guess so, but yeah. it was known for spoofing video game things. So
right.
Homer turned into a big ass Katamari.
Mm-hmm.
And shit like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So that one I heard ended up there's the one you downloaded the demo for.
Yeah, I know, and it bored me.
You said it ended up being a little boring, right?
Yeah.
So, but I heard it was another good fanboy game. So, but yeah, I got to go with the arcade game because that was basically X-Men or Ninja Turtles in the Simpsons shell.
Yeah, and that's like ultimate fun.
All those Konami beat 'em up games are so fucking fun.
Mm-hmm. I play them today.
But that's about it. I'm trying to think of any other Simpsons games that came out. Besides Hit and Run, there was supposed to be one other good one.
I remember, man.
It was by no. It must have been Hit and Run because yeah, I no. I
yeah, Hit and Run was pretty fun when I had rented it off of GameFly. I played it for like 2 days. But I you know that was. I'm not a big fan of GTA, so I played it a lot just because it was Simpsons and it was familiar
right.
and whatnot.
So that's been, I guess, a consensus for the two of us is arcade game. Hey, Bart! No, that was a bad Milhouse. I'm sorry. I usually do Milhouse okay, but only that line. Just that one line. Hey, Bart! That was bad. I'm going to cut that out. But, yeah, Simpsons game's not that good. Now let's move on to the last question from Supersonic97. He has a question for us, but we'll save the question for last. I want to read the comment on the his cousin and GTA because, Al, you weren't here for that.
Mm-hmm.
Here is what he said last week. I know that the effect games have on a person's psychological state of mind is a hot topic right now, which is why I need to share the story of my 5-year-old cousin. I don't know why, but about a year ago when they lived in India, my other portly cousin allowed young one here to play GTA San Andreas. San Andreas! I feel this has affected my little cousin psychologically. For example, the day my cousins came to America, the little one smacked me across the face and punched me in the gut. And at that point, me and Tony launched into la-di-da-di. Smacked her in the... this cousin has always had a tendency to get violent when he doesn't get what he wants. And although I let him play Halo 3, which he surprisingly pones at, I don't think that letting him or even any 8-year-old play a game like GTA is good, because at an early age, they are very impressionable. Just tell me if you think there's any way I can revert the effect this awesome game has on this not-so-awesome cousin. Tony said kick the shit out of him. Discipline him.
Beat his ass.
Yeah.
When you wanna.
And so this week he comes back and says, also on the subject of my cousin, I found an interesting way to discipline him. For example, today my mom called him out of the living room where he was playing my 360. When he came out, our maid told him to eat his breakfast, but he started crying and yelling at her because she didn't have the dish for him fully prepared.
Wow.
I guess he felt the need every possible second to pwn at Halo 3. So basically, I guess it wasn't fully prepared, so she was like, it's not ready yet, let me keep playing, that type of thing. Anyways, my mom yelled at him to not disrespect the maid, and then I said, do you want to play the 360? He went, yes. And so I said, then come the fuck out of here. Why does he have it in brackets? I don't know. He said, come the fuck out of here, eat your damn motherfucking food, and I better not see you cry doing it. In fact, smile, you motherfucker. Can you explain to us next week why you put these in brackets? Did you not say this, and this is what you were thinking of saying, or did you actually say this, but you use much worse words in their place?
There's much worse words than that?
That's what I'm saying. I don't know. Okay. He listened to me because it had already been unanimously been decided that because I had received my 360 on my birthday, it was totally and in every way mine. Just thought that this was a cool example of video games being used to discipline a child, not the other. Well, it should be yours. It's yours, right? It's not his. He came over from India. This is your house.
Right.
So I don't see any other way why he wouldn't have thought it was yours. The other thing is that I think profanity towards a child has its... I don't know. I mean, it's threatening and it's intimidating, sure. I just don't know that it's a good example, though, for you to give the kid in terms of how he speaks back to you in the future and how he speaks back to your parents.
And in terms of how he speaks to others.
Exactly. I mean, I don't know. It depends. Some people are all right with it, and if your family's cool with it, then that's cool. I know some friends who, like, you know, they use profanity, but, you know, in casual talk. They don't, you know, disrespect each other with it. They're just like, oh, this fucking guy's an idiot. You know, one of my friends talked to his father that way, and his father talks back to him that way. They, you know, they're cool with it. They're, you know, but they're probably in the mafia. No, but to discipline the child, this is totally subjective. You know, I'm not a parent yet. It's just my own view on things is that you probably don't want to use profanity only because you don't want him talking to your mother that way or his mother that way when he wants to fight back. Because inevitably, he will want to fight back. He's not going to be intimidated his entire childhood. At some point, the beast is going to come out unless you guys, you know, subdue him with some people's elbow or some shit like that. Which, don't do the people's elbow on him, please, don't. that would not be good. But I'm glad to see that, you know, that you can use the 360 to tell him, you know what, shape the fuck up. That's always been a good way. You take away what they want because they don't deserve it. He wants the video game. Take it away from him. Now, when he stops liking games, if that ever happens, and obviously that strategy is useless and you're going to have to move on to bigger and better things, but...
hope you win a one-up. One-up.
I don't know how much... When kids get older, I don't know how taking away their drugs is going to affect them since they've gotten those drugs by illegal means anyway, and they probably hid it from you. But yeah, you know, take away shit they like. You know, that's general sense. So now on to your question. And this will be our swan song for this episode. Oh, but we got a lot to talk about this shit. What game on your backlog are you most interested in completing? Oh, backlogs.
Let's go open up.
Yeah, I'm going to go right now and open up that shit right now. Al started this, actually. Started a backlog document on Google Documents chronicling every single game that's on our backlog. And let's see, he's logged 97 different games, 96 different games. And right now I'm up to 83. And I haven't even logged the games that I own but haven't started yet, because I don't consider it on the backlog until I've started it, which is cheating. So we got a ways to go. All right, so to answer the question first, I would say Final Fantasy X, because I really want to get a Japanese console RPG under my belt. It's been a long time since I've done that. It's all been on the DS. Al, what about you?
Right now, of the games that I'm playing, or is this like of the games that I have completely in my list?
Just whatever you consider to be on your backlog, what are you most interested in completing, I guess is what his question is.
Okay, let's see, because that means I have 90-something games to look through. The game I am
well,
most...
I mean, ideally, it would be something that's kind of like in the back of your head already, so like if you can't think of it, I would personally guess that you're not that interested in completing it, but that's just
Well, it's just that because I hold most of these games as very interested in completing.
Oh, I see what you mean. Like, okay, yeah. I see what you mean.
I'm like, I don't know, because it's a big decision between all of them. But I'd be dissatisfied with whatever I choose, I think. But, you know, to tell you the truth, no, it's not really a backlog game.
Hello?
Huh?
Oh, you kind of frittered out there for a second. Can you repeat it again?
I said it's not really a backlog game. It's a game I just bought, but I haven't started yet. There's Tactics War Alliance, PSP. I'm really looking forward to going through that, but there is a better one here. That better one.
And you just updated your sheet to say Summer Portable Strategy starting July 1st.
No, I didn't update it. I just clicked on that. That's always been there. That was my plan.
You moved your cursor to finish storyline.
Hmm?
I see you moving your cursor back and forth between finished storyline and notes.
Yep. See, now it's all over the place.
Yeah.
If you see
now you moved it. It's out of my view. But anyway.
It's not updating as soon as I click on it, I guess.
Yeah.
The game I'm most interested, I guess, in completing right now is going to be Killer 7, because stopped playing it, and then I started playing it again, and I'm like, you know, I really want to finish this game. Other than that, really all the other games is just a matter of time. Like, you know, I've been at the end of iNinja for like 2 years and I haven't played it. And, you know, Shenmue I just picked up again, which I'm going to try and finish by next week. I'm trying to play Phantom Hourglass if I have any free time. Ninja Gaiden will come into place. God of War, I'm on my way to beating that. And,
I thought you beat the first one.
Well, God mode. That's my new
goal. Okay.
Then I can put it away for a while. You know, Vagrant Story is also a game that, you know, I beat a long time ago, but I don't really remember much about it, so I put it into my backlog, and I would like to, you know, really just do a good rush through it, and then do a new game plus.
And not do how much damage to the final boss?
One. Every time you hit him, if you didn't miss, or if I wasn't guarded, you hit him for one.
So let me get this straight. What was the story? You persevered until you beat him doing one damage, or you just gave up?
No, it took like probably half an hour.
Jesus Christ!
And basically it was, because it was all predictable. He would just run around, and he would like try and do these attacks on you, and then you can block him. And then he would have this like massive, large attack that could kill you if you didn't hit the timing right. And I would always hit the timing right, and then I would survive that, and I would heal up, and I would hit him, and my strings would be like, you know, 40, 50 hits, and I would heal myself, and I would do damage, and I would keep on just, you know, regenerating myself with the hits, but I'd be hitting him for like one.
So what is Ashley Wright again? What's his class of job? Chain smoker or something?
Wrist breaker.
Okay.
Risk.
Oh, risk breaker. I thought it was something retarded like Chainsmoker. I'm like, what?
Chainsmoker, no.
Because I haven't played that in a long time. The only time I played it was to watch the open cinematic, and then I forgot about it.
Oh. Yeah, it's fun
game. I am the reinforcements. Cool! Turn the power off, forgot about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 96 games on this shit, man.
Yeah.
Let's see. I got, let's see. I'm gonna sort this by console to see which is the biggest offender of what games I have on my backlog. I think it looks like my DS. That can't be true. I have so many more PC games that I haven't finished.
You have, like, what, 27 to 46. You have 19 DS games?
DS games, yeah.
Wow.
To finish. The one that I, the one I'm, that, like you said, that I'm on the verge of finishing is Kirby. I'm, like, at the last level or the last two levels or something like that, man. And I need to just fucking finish that.
Yeah,
I got a whole bunch of cube shit. Again, bear in mind, this is not including stuff that I have not started yet.
Mm-hmm.
So I probably have a lot more shit to go. But a lot of these on the backlog, you know, I've resigned myself to understand that I'm not going to beat every game. So I've set the goals that I've set for my backlog. Some of them are just play them until I've found that I've gotten my money's worth, really.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are just like Manhunt 2. Just get halfway to say that you – let me see what I wrote here for Manhunt 2. Manhunt 2, the goal is to get halfway through the game. My comment is, I might not even make it halfway. It's so shitty. I'd rather just play the first Manhunt because it's a much better game. And then here's another one. The Legend of Dragoon, I'm 3 hours in. My goal is to play until satisfaction, which means until I get my money's worth. My note is, I heard it gets really shitty. I just want to play a little bit to find out if it gets really shitty. But yeah, many of these guys on my backlog are just like 5 hours in. Like, for example, Final Fantasy X, I'm only about 4 hours in. For anybody who's listening, I just got past the Killika Trials and did that whole shit with the stupid orbs. Do you remember that? I think you're past me, that's why.
I am past you.
So you remember, that's where I am. Like the thing where she's praying and then that big lug shoves you down the elevator when you're not supposed to be down there, and then you start fucking around with these gems that are in the walls, and you have to put them in the wall and then open up the room and all that shit.
Yeah, I hated that part.
So then there's Final Fantasy Tactics, which I logged 90 hours on before I lost the game in the hotel room.
Wait, Tactics Advance?
Yeah, and so my goal now after I rebought it has been to just get halfway there, get to 50 hours, and just salvage whatever I had because there's no way I can ever beat it anymore.
Did you finish it?
No. But I got 100 hours and I was close. I was maybe like 75% the way through, but all those hours gone to some fucking kid's GBA after his, you know, mother who worked at the hotel probably found it and didn't give it up for, you know, lost and found or some bullshit like that. Kingdom Hearts Chain of Memories on GBA. I'm like 90 minutes in. I don't even remember how it plays anymore.
I wanted to get that. I think it's too late for me to get that.
Geist, I'm like in the second mission, and the controls are so shitty that I might just drop this game. I was excited for it. Reggie Fils-Aimé was like, oh, here's another first-person adventure, and I started playing it. I was like, this is kind of cool. I can scare a dog by this kind of plays like shit. Yeah. I'm not playing this anymore. Killer 7 is... I think we have differing opinions on this. It's getting really tedious for me. That's why I stopped playing it altogether, and I don't even think I'll go back to it.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of want to because it's one of those games that I vowed that I would finish. Odama, I'm on mission 3. I just don't like the game, single player. I don't see the merit in it. Some people love it. I just don't. I don't hate it. I just don't see any reason to play it unless I'm playing with a friend. Pikmin, I've started the game so many times, and I've only gotten to like day 5 before my attention deficit disorder takes me to some other game. I can never get that. Itrian Odyssey, I still have to actually completely finish. Let's see, what else? Metroid Prime Hunters, I'm probably not going to play it because I can't stand the way they designed it. God, there's so many things that, like, I started and I never... Beautiful Joe, Double Trouble on DS. I'm on level 1, and I've beat it. That's it. And I stopped playing it.
Mm.
Like, there's so many shits that...
Erp.
Xenosaga, I'm an hour in, and I think that was all cutscene.
cutscene.
I don't know, but it's like there's so many things. Kill Switch I bought and I played on Xbox and I was like, oh, level 2, this might be a fun arcade game. Never played it again.
Yeah, I ran it down on PS2. I was all about it and I was just like, you know, this game's really fun, but I wouldn't want to keep it.
Yeah. Star Wars KOTOR, I just beat the intro battle and I'm in that first town, in that first building that I'm hiding in, and I haven't picked it up again. That's going to take me like 100 hours.
Yep.
Again, this is not including things that I haven't started yet.
Yep. Yep.
I don't know. You want to talk about your little
web we weave?
Yeah.
Oh, you want me to talk about the games I have in my damn log?
Or just like overall, just your backlog in general. I mean, whatever.
Now, let's see. My biggest offender seems to be between the PS2 and GameCube, I think. Let's see. GameCube, I have 2641, so that's like 15 games that I'm in the middle of or didn't start. Most of them are not started. Like, I have iNinja, I'm at the end. Kill 7, I'm at disc 2. Beyond Good and Evil, I'm almost finished with. Odama, somewhere, I don't even know. Baden Kaitos and Origins, never started. Battalion Wars, I'm somewhere, but I'd probably start that game over. Chibi Robo, I'm like somewhere in the middle of it. I'm at the end of Eternal Darkness. Haven't started Lost Kingdoms, haven't started Spy Hunter, haven't started...
Spy Hunter, you have that too?
Yeah, I bought that for like $10.
Oh.
Beautiful Joe 2, Fantasy Star, that's Genesis. Mega Man X Collection, which I bought recently for like $5. Rogue Squadron 3, which I'm now going to say that I did not start because I might as well not have. Yeah, I know, but I might as well not have. It was like 8 years
okay.
ago. And
now, let me interrupt you for a second and say that this man had all his backlog before he sorted it into DVD shelves. He had it in a stack on top of his TV, just growing and growing, and I was waiting for one day for that stack to just fall over on accident.
Oh, yeah, the stack of DVDs.
I'm surprised that it never fell over.
Oh, it did.
Unless it did.
It did a couple of times.
Okay, I was going to say, that's incredible, but go ahead.
Let's see. Now, on the PS2 side, I have God Hand, which I'm like probably on like the third or fourth level or something. I'm going to beat it this before the winter. Xenosaga, haven't started.
Level die.
Teleiris 2, haven't started. Still in the wrapper.
Me too. And I was in the GameStop the other day being, oh, number 3, they're having it on sale for $30 or something.
Oh my god,
I was like, oh,
having a Teleiris 3 now?
Yeah, I was like, 3 for $30. Maybe I should. I haven't even started the second one. Much less the first one, which I don't own. Never mind.
Exactly. I finished the school part of Bully, so I'm in town, but...
Wait, so they segregate the game into two halves? I don't get it.
I don't know. All I know is it's kind of like Grand Theft Auto, where you start out and you only have access to like one island and then you go to the next island. So basically the way it works here is that you had to go to class and stuff like that and do all the school life stuff. And then after you finish the main quest line for the school, then you're able to go and expand and go out into the town. You don't have to go to class like all the damn time and whatnot. You're not restricted to a time schedule. So you can go out and do things for people in the town, or you can go and do other like tasks. Like you get a bike, and then after you get the bike, you can ride out of the school into town and do stuff. And there's townies who like bother you and stuff like that because you're from the school, and you could take the bus back to the school and things like that. And after I got out to the town, that's my expansive disconnection state. When a game opens up,
have you kissed the guy yet?
I don't kiss guys.
In the game.
I know. I don't kiss guys.
You're mean.
Anyway, when a game opens up, I usually wind up stopping playing the game. Like, for example, and I would tell somebody to say, gave me this example. I said, yes, this happened there. When Final Fantasy VII broke out of Midgar and opened up the world, I stopped playing for a while.
But the totally opposite thing happened for you for Final Fantasy VI, though. You said that was like your favorite part of the game.
When design. Magitek?
After the whole thing happens, and then like you're in the second half of the game.
Oh, but that's the second half of the game. That's completely different. I'm talking about like in the beginning. Like, in the beginning, when you think that, okay, the game is just structured and it's, like, linear, and then it winds up breaking out of linear and, well, not linear, but completely linear into, like, oh, my God, now this whole world is here and I have to go.
I don't know what to do with myself.
Huh?
Well, I mean, 7 does just what any other RPG in the Final Fantasy series does. It just is very enclosed for a long time.
Right, and that is just, I don't know, there's just something in my head that clicks whenever something is really
starts
close
out that
in,
way.
And yeah, and then it just like busts open. So,
if I played, let's be hypothetical. If I started Final Fantasy VII for you, played up to Midgar, and then gave you the controller, you'd probably have no problem with it.
I don't know. If the game started and I was just standing outside that town, I would probably just play it. That's just, I don't know. That's just the way.
That's
I
funny.
I wouldn't stop. Like Final Fantasy X is all linear and stuff. You know how like you have to go and do all this stuff, but I heard that it opens up and you can kind of go back and forth. I haven't gotten that far yet, but if I do, I might wind up slowing down even more so than I am now, which is like completely not playing. Somebody talking back there?
It's comic book guy.
Comic book guy?
From The Simpsons.
Oh, okay. No, I was wondering because it doesn't sound like that from here, but sure.
Excuse me. Thank you. Thank you. Excuse me.
Like drop him up half an octave or something.
Yeah, for anybody who doesn't know, I have like a whole collection of like Simpsons dolls. Not a whole collection, but like one of my best friends, she gave me a bunch of Simpsons shit, like dolls and shit. So I put it on my computer because they're fun to look at. And one of them was a comic book guy. And he has a button on his back that makes him say, excuse me. And then I have a Pooh bobblehead doll with a t-shirt that says, don't have a cow, man. Which is pretty nice because he's Hindi and he doesn't eat beef. Oh, I'm so funny. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm done here, I think.
I think we're both done.
Yeah.
This shit has run its course.
Yeah.
I'm hungry, too.
Me, too.
So, housekeeping means that we keep the house. Housekeeping? Let's see. Game slaves, I don't know what's up with them, but it doesn't seem that they're going to be updating for the foreseeable future. So join their Facebook group. They have a Facebook group now. But still, write into Pete. Give him your love. Send him flowers, gifts, candy, money. Money is nice. Go to iTunes to get their episodes. Game Slaves Radio. You can go to drfishypants.com to read the writings of our contributor, Brian Fishman. That's drfishypants.com. The word doctor is spelled out. Also, Slunks works for Talk Xbox, but since he's not here today, I don't know why I pimped it. He's been avoiding us like the plague because I think he's racist against Asian people with short hair.
Oh, no.
He likes Asian people with long hair, not short hair. And Al, what's that thing that you play some weird music on the internet?
You mean my guitar and my games? The guitar self-training and video games discussion blog at xlm2k.blogspot.com that nobody leaves comments on.
xlm2k.blogspot.com. Leave comments.
Please.
Or else you're an asshole.
I like attention.
And Ashuku is not going to get a tattoo of Al on his back yet.
No, he won't.
Aww. I like it. Okay, that's it for housekeeping. So... remember, send in mailbag questions to mailbag@trigames.net. mailbag at symbol, trigames, period, net. You can also get us on iTunes as usual. So please give us reviews and shit. Don't be lazy. Don't be shy. Give us a review. Give us 10 stars if you could.
Yeah.
Because we're awesome like
that.
That's
right. We're good like that. We just do it. Doing it up.
Doing it and doing it and doing it. And that's it for Al.
Well.
For Tony. Blah, 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 blah. For Hope. Woo! For Slunks.
I'm not even here.
That doesn't sound like him. I'm sorry. I have been your Hope. Your Hope.
You
wow.
have been my...
I have been the wind beneath your wings, Mr. Chupon. Austin, and we're out of here.
Let me just blow my nose real quick. Nasty. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. Stop taking that shit over there.